The following shir has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Tumura Daf Hei. We have in the blatter that we are learning now, Be'ez Hashem, two of the Sugyois, chamurois v'shasa, two of the yisoidistik sugyos that talk about definitions, that clarify for us definitions in averis and mitzvahs, and different areas in halacha that are very fundamental. I'd like to be marchiv these two sugyos, Be'ez Hashem. One of them is the sugya of lav she'im be'maisa. The second one is the sugya that unfolds Abai Verovo that argue about the din of Yovid Loi Mahani. We discussed both of them in the previous year in the context of how to define the lav of Tmura, how to define what you're doing, what the Memer is doing, and what the Torah does in reaction to the Memer, but it's not part of the Maisa of the Memer himself. Now we'll just try to discuss these two in a broader perspective. First, we'll delve into the Yesoidos of Lav Shein Be'maisa. We have the Gemara's member by us and Abdalit, called Lav Shabbatayru. That's a Lav Shein Be'maisa. Ain't loikin alav. The prototype for that, the Gemara brings the memra of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where a person is Nishba, Lechol Kikazu V'loyochal. A person was Nishba, he made a Shavua to eat this specific loaf of bread. The halacha is that if a person is over on a shua sheker, he's chayiv, it's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. He's nishba, let's say, not to eat. If he does a maisa of eating a kezayis, then he is, then he's chayiv malkis, lav sheyesh b'maisa. But what happens if he's nishba to do something and he doesn't do it? So the Gemara says, machlek subyechin and shlokish, what the reason is why over there in loikin. One says because of asura sulfik, and one says because of lav, shein b'maisa, asura sulfik, which will figure as we delve into this case, but it's not directly related, means that since at the time, l'chayru, the Pesha, I'm saying l'chayru because we'll see that it's not so simple, when, in order to be chayv malchus, there has to be a hasura, the person who does that there has to get hasura, give him the hasura, let's figure out when you would do it. He has, let's say, his nishba to eat this loaf of bread today. By 6 o'clock p.m., let's say that's when the end of the day is, he has to eat this loaf of bread. At 9 o'clock in the morning when he made this shvur, you give him a so you better eat it, otherwise you're going to get beaten up, you're going to get malchus. The lav shem v'maisa, let's say, doesn't concern that shita. But the point of the matter is that the hasra has to be in a definite way that he's oymid to be oymid davera. At 9 o'clock in the morning, what does that have to do with the fact that he cannot eat it now, but he could eat it at 10, 11, 12, and so on? So it's hasroas sofik. The other shita is that it's a lav shein b'maisa, being that the shvuah is violated by the not eating. It's a lav shein b'maisa. B'chol lav shein b'maisa ain loikin alov. The prototype we said is chasimo leisachsim shavadishoy. Right next to the Torah is possible leisachsim shavadishoy muzzling a behemoth while it eats is the parasha malchus. The Gemara learns out that there's a smichus, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Makkos learns out that there's a smichus to teach us that just like the lav of chasima, of muzzling a behemoth, is a lav sheyesh b'maisa, so to any lav where this malchus has to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa. L'maisa, there's a whole sugya in Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik, where the Gemara discusses the parameters of being over on specifically the lav of chasima. We'll try to be marchim, we'll try to discuss different things, but for right now, let's start with chasima. And the Gemara discusses chasima be'akmima svosayim. We discussed in the previous year the idea of being choisiv the behema, forcing the behema not to eat, not muzzling it by putting a rope around his mouth, by putting something, a cloth around his mouth, where you're doing a maisa, but bidibur, and the Gemara by us defines that a maisa is something one does with his hands. Something one does physically, not diburim. Nishba, lashov, is without a maisa. Mikal rachman otzlon is without a maisa. Meimah is without a maisa. L'chayr chasim is also without a maisa, if it's a chasim b'kor. The Rambam paskins that chasim b'koil, based on the sugya above and see that tzadi chasim b'koil, there is malchus. It's a lav shein b'maisa. Says the Magen Mishnah in Schirus Perek Yud Gimel. based on the sugya, like we said in Bava Metzia, Lev Tzadik, that Akimas Fasayim is a Maisa. And he says, Akimas Fasayim is not considered a Maisa. We're talking about Nishba, Memer, and Mekal, all of them have a Maisa Akimas Fasayim. He says like this. He says, since sometimes a person can be over, or in the usual case, a person is over the lav of chasimo, by putting a cloth, by putting a real physical muzzle over the animal's mouth, the fact that he accomplishes the same thing with Akimas Fasayim is also defines it as a lav she'esh by maisa. The passage of what he's saying is that lav she'en by maisa and lav she'esh by maisa is not defined by if you're actually doing something, if you're actually doing a physical activity as opposed to speaking, but the fact that that avera bimuhus existentially is something that has an inner maisa. Meaning, what is the definition of lav she'en by maisa? Why lav she'en by maisa? Not why, but what's the definition of lav she'en by maisa in Lekin Olam? Pashtus. The simple understanding of that would be that, look, the choymer inyan of doing an avera, there's an avera where a person doesn't do something that he has to do, that he's supposed to do. And then there's a different level where a person actually flaunts the ratzon habayir by doing something. It's what we would call today in the Rebbein Shlomo's face. He's doing a maisa against ratzon habayir, or he's just being passive, and because of that, in his passivity, he's violating ratzon habayir. It's not as chomer. That's the simple understanding. He was over by not doing something. It's not as chomer as doing something connected to ratzon habayir. Or, what the Magen Mishnah seems to be suggesting is an alternative. That there are two types of lav. There's a lav which is existentially more chomer, because the lav that's more chomer is something that's usually an activity. That means that even if you're over on that lav, but if you didn't do something, it still carries with it the definition of being a lav chomer. Then there are lavim of inactivity. Theoretically, you could have the same thing, where a person does a lav, and somehow he got to it with a maisa, but something that existentially does not have a maisa, so then it's a lav shame by maisa. That's if we go with the Magnishan's definition. Sure enough, the Sefer Echinuch and Mitzvah Reish Mem Aleph says, Legabe loisikoims. There's a lav of taking a koma. Person can take a koma. Somebody slaps him across the face, so he slaps him back. Somebody tripped him, so he sticks out his foot, he trips him. That's with a maisa. You could do the same thing. The case that Rashi says in Chumash and Parshas Kedoshim is, I didn't want to lend you yesterday a lawnmower, so today you get me back by not lending me cables to start my stalled car. That's a lav. Shame by maisa. The lav is the not doing something. Says the Chinuch, that there's no malchus on leisikoim because it's a lav she'en by maisa. And even when you stuck out your foot and you did a maisa of tripping the other guy, l'chodr is a maisa. Yeah, but since sometimes it's done without a maisa, so leisikoim by definition is a lav she'en by maisa. So it seems to be conceptually the same idea as the Magen Mishnah, but what's strange is that it's mamish paket. The Magen Mishnah is saying something that you have sometimes you do with a maisa, and something we do without a ma'isa, so it's called a lav she'esh b'ma'isa. The chinuch is saying, pung faket, that sometimes you do something without a ma'isa, so when you do it with a ma'isa, then it's considered a lav she'esh b'ma'isa. The chinuch says the same thing, by the way. Mitzvah shin dalad mem, there's a lav of le'savet b'avodas eved, that somebody has an eved ivri, not to work him hard physical labor, not to send him out onto the field to do, to pick cotton, on a plantation. Evidently has to be given honorable work, not mamish slave work. A person can do that with a maisa, without a maisa. He says if a person treats his Eved like a plantation slave, an Eved Ivri that is, he's even a lav le'savvei avodas Eved, it's a lav shem a maisa in loikin alav, because it could be done without a maisa. Because bedvarim yirdaboy, he could verbally abuse him and treat him like a slave. He could be mashful him verbally. So it's not with a maisa. So even if it's done with a maisa, it's called a lav shem by maisa. L'chayra, this needs some type of definition. Why, if we say the Chinuch and the Rambam are going with the same basic framework, that lav she'en be ma'isa is not the thing itself, whether you actually did that with a ma'isa or not, but it's a way of defining whether it's a type of lav which is an active lav or it's a type of lav which is a passive lav. Why sometimes does the do define even the passive? And why sometimes with the passive will define even when it's done actively, it's done proactively, why will that sometimes cut this way and sometimes cut that way? And l'chare the pshat has to be, this idea is discussed at length in the Mishnah Siyavitz. Mishnah Siyavitz is a sefer written by the Rav of Yerushalayim, Rav Zsolti, who was nifter close to 40 years ago. He's a great lamdin as well as being a poisik mufurzin. He wrote a svarim called Mishnah Siyavitz. The sefer on Chayshim Mishpot is in Simen Yudal. Then over there he has a discourse on Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa, Lav Shein B'Maisa. L'chare the way to address this would be for us to give a little bit more definition. When we say something is with a ma'isa, without a ma'isa, so we could talk about, like we said, we could talk about it being, did you actually do a ma'isa, did you not do a ma'isa? Or what we could do is we could say, let's define this type of lav. Is it the type of lav which is done proactively? Is it a proactive rebellion against Dvar Hashem, in which case it's a lav sheyesh b'ma'isa? Or this is a lav of the inactive type. This is a lav of being moinea. It's a way of defining existentially what that lav is. So l'chor with the Rambam, what the Magen Mishnah and the Chinuch are saying is the lav of chasima is a maisa that's done. Normally the way to muzzle a behema is to put something around his mouth. That's a maisa. The fact that you, we discussed this far in the previous year, the fact that you're able to accomplish the same physical activity we called in the previous year, b'diburo is aved boy maisa. The fact that you could accomplish the same thing without a maisa, bakimus v'saim, just means that instead of using kinetic energy generated by your hands, you have kinetic energy generated by your mouth. True, he screamed at the animal, but basically what he did was he closed the animal's mouth. It's just a way of defining that really what he did is a maisa activity. It's an active being over Ratzon Hashem. There are certain things, loisikoim, is that when a person has tainus against somebody, instead of, the way the Chinuch says it over there, instead of recognizing that Ratzon HaBorei is that yesterday's wrong was yesterday's wrong, and it's the Rebbein Shalom's will that he was wrong, but today he's not going to hold it against him. That's a passive state. Letting anger smolder to the point where you hold it against the other guy, bearing a grudge, and acting on it is not an active, you're gonna get the guy, you're gonna crash into his car, you're gonna call in the middle of the night, make harassing phone calls. The point is that you're in a state of disconnect from him, you're carrying the grudge. That's a lack of active, that's a non-active. That's a passive love. So Mel, over there, even when you do the ma'aseh, it's just a way of expressing befoil that state of being in an akaba state. L'sidibay b'farach is the state of being miyaches to the eved as a shofel v'nivzi. You treat him like a real slave instead of treating him like an ish mechubed. The purpose of an eved ivri is that he should be rehabilitated into society. The purpose is not that he's supposed to be. There's no lav. Let's say you have by eved kanani. There's an assay of freeing an eved kanani for no reason. An Eved Kanani is supposed to be an Eved. What that means in Ashkofa is not for now. But the point is that his state is an Eved. The Eved, if you treat him like an Eved, so you turn him into an Eved. But the point is that there's a certain relationship there that the Torah disallows, the Torah assers. Having that relationship is the Isser. The fact that you expressed it with a Maisa of holding him by the hair and you know, whipping him and sending him into a cotton plantation, as opposed to just verbally abusing him and degrading him and being mashbulim into being an Eved, being a proper Eved, that's not the definition of what that lav is. So what we're doing according to the Rav HaMagid and according to the Chinuch is defining lav sheyesh b'maisa, lav shein b'maisa, in the sense of defining the lav. Is it an active violation of Ratzon HaBorei, or is it a passive, it's more of a state, and that even when that state is expressed in a ma'isa, but be'etzem, existentially, that lav is a lav that's shamed by ma'isa. Based on this understanding of the machloikis, not the machloikis, but the varying hagdoris of the Magen Mishnah and the Chinuch, which are really based on the same rationale, like we just said, let's put forward a maramokim, which is yet difficult, a machloikis rishonim. What's the halacha? We just said a case of shvua, the prototype of lav shem b'maisa. Shvua sheyoichal kikasev aloyochal, where the shvua be'etzem is the not doing. The avera is that he has to do and he doesn't do it. It's a static state. And that itself, by the way, is a question because many shvuas you'll be over. Shvua sheloyochal va'ochal is a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Why not say that shvua existentially is defined as a lav sheyesh b'maisa? And with that, you should be over even when you don't do a ma'isa. If we're right with the definition that we just said, that the lav she'en by ma'isa has nothing to do with befoil, whether you're doing a ma'isa or not, but it has to do with whether existentially that's a lav of an active state or a lav of a passive state. If that's true, then why not say the same thing by shvua? If shvua she'yoichel, Shua, he's gonna fast, and he violated that by doing, he gets Malkus. So why not say that even when he said Shua Sheyoichal, and he didn't eat, why not get Malkus, if it's existentially a lav sheyesh b'maaseh? That's a very basic question. But, there's another question also. What happens is interesting in between those two cases. What happens, Shua Sheyoichal kikazeh? He made a Shua that by 6 o'clock p.m. tonight, by the Shkia, he's going to eat his kikar. So we just said, if he doesn't eat, so that's passive. That's lav shein b'maaseh. That's the case of the Gemara. What happens in a case where the reason why he didn't eat is because he was zora kika layom? He didn't wait till 6 o'clock p.m. He made the shua at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock p.m. he picked up the kikar on the question and in question and he threw it into the yam. Obviously now he's not going to eat it. So Tosfos says in shua staf yom and beis that's a lav shein b'maaseh. What's that veru? The Aveiro is the fact that he didn't eat the kikar. That's the violation of the Shua. The fact that the way he created the impetus or the behechrak that he would not be able to eat it was with a ma'is is not relevant. That's not the Aveiro. The Aveiro is not throwing the kikar layom. The Aveiro is not eating it. The not eating is passive. It's a lav shein b'ma'is. The Ramban l'ma'is in Makas Daf Tezayin argues. It brings b'shem the Yerushalmi. We have to understand the svar. What's taka the svar? L'chor, the aveir is not the throne of layom. Clear. That since the way the shvur was violated is by throwing the kikar layom, that's called a yesh b'maisa, which sounds like yesh b'maisa and b'maisa is very circumstantial. It's nothing to do with existentially what's the aveir. It has to do with l'maisa. Were you a passive over aveir or were you an active over aveir? Seems to be clearly told in whether you did something, whether you didn't. In this case, even though the ma'isa is only a hechatimtza for that later on, you didn't eat it, but the ma'isa since at 12 o'clock, you did a ma'isa which was in violation of what you had to do in Hilchah Shvuah, so that's a lav she'yesh b'maaseh. That l'chor would be clear from the Rabban, more importantly from the Yerushalmi. How do we square that with the information that we just discussed? So before we get back to redefining, rewiring our understanding of lav she'yesh b'maaseh b'maaseh, and maybe saying a different pshat in the Rav HaMagen and the Rambam that we discussed, I'd like to share an idea, chiddush, which is negeh by shvur, which is also a very defining idea in these dinim. The din of shvur, we just discussed the case of shvur she'yoichal v'lo ochal. We discussed that there's a machlokes why ain't by malchus, either because of lav shein b'maaseh, or the other time the Gemara is because of hasra sofik. The hasra sofik begs a definition, begs clarification. What's the hasra sofik? So we said that the hasra sofik is, he made the shvuah at 9 o'clock, you gave him hasra in the middle of the day, so it's hasra sofik, because, you know, theoretically, he could be mekayim the shvuah afterwards. Give him hasra at 1 o'clock p.m. Tell him you better eat it at sof hayom, and he says no, I don't want to eat it. But he could change his mind at 3, 4, 5, 5:59, 59 seconds. He could eat that kikar and be mekayim the shvuah. So it's hasra sofik. The problem with l'chayru is more basic than that. The problem is that the Gemara says that hasra has to be tochli dibur of the aveir. If giving hasra on somebody who's over avodah zarah, gilerai, shvi'ah zarah, has to be tochli dibur of the aveir. Where's tochli dibur of the aveir? The aveir is at 6 o'clock. Giving him hasra at 3 o'clock, it's a much more basic problem than hasra sofik. And hasra sofik seems to be a machlokes. Nobody argues that hasra has to be tochli dibur of the aveir. If you give a fellow hasra at 1 o'clock and at 2 o'clock he kills somebody, that hasra is not valid. It's not legitimate. Why over here should it be any less? Rashi in Shvuah Daf Chof Aleph and Rashi Be'os in Tumurah Daf Dalet seem to answer this question by saying that the pshat is like this. You can give the guy hasra at 3 o'clock, enochanami. That hasra is not terkli dibur v'daveru. But what, the question is, why can't you give the guy hasra at 5:59 and 59 seconds, Toichdei Dibur of the Averu. On that Rashi says in Shavuos Daf Chof Aleph from the base, E'efshel Letzamtzim. It's not possible to know when it's exactly a second before Shkia. It's not possible to be so razor sharp. So Meli, you're going to be left, you're going to have to give Masro during the day. So then we're left back with our question. Then Sasro Na Toichdei Dibur. The answer L'chor has to be that the Shavuah is not just when he, at the end of the day. The chiv of the shvuah is in order for a person to keep his word, to keep his shvuah, that he said b'shem Hashem he's gonna do kach v'kach, the whole day there's a commitment to do what he has to do. The aver is not 5:59 and 59 seconds when he doesn't eat. The whole day he's mechuyftid in order that he shouldn't get to the end of the day, be ayvi shvuah. There's a shvuah that's ram yolov, there's a shvuah that's on him, and the whole day it's incumbent on him to keep that shvuah. Every single second of the day is part of the violation of the Shavuah. If he gets to the end of the day, he didn't keep it. True, if he eats at 5:59, then he doesn't have a problem with the fact that he didn't eat at 3 o'clock. But if he doesn't eat it till 6 o'clock, then every second of the whole day, from the morning when he made the Shavuah, until nightfall, until Shkia, it's all part of the Avera. It is Teichedei Dibur. If you give him Asura at 3 o'clock, it is Teichedei Dibur. But even though right now he's in violation of Shavuot for not being Mekayim, he says, I don't want to eat, but he can be Mekayim to Shavuot at 5 o'clock, at 5:59. All that will define for us, that's only Asura Sofik. It's Teichdei Dibur of the Aveir. Meaning to say, there are Aveiros where the doing, the not doing of the Aveiro is Alamokin, is defined very clearly in 1 second. And there are Aveiros which are defined as a process. The whole day is part of the process of him violating his word, violating his shvuah. The whole thing is part of the day. The Teichdei Dibur will be the whole day. Person gets asura at 1 o'clock, he kills at 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock has nothing to do with the aveira. But where he made his shvuah and the shvuah is already incumbent on him, then the whole day goes into making the shvuah. We'll say this a little bit differently. A chiddush Rabbeinu Chananel in Psachim Dav Samach Gimel Lamed Beis, in the same Gemara, the same Rema of Shvuah Shiyoichav Leochal Kikazeh Zelafi Dav Elav Shememai Zelafi Dav Asur Asofik, says a different interpretation. Where's the Asur Asofik? Seems to be answering this problem also. Rabbeinu Chananel says you gave him Teichdei Dibur of making the Shvuah itself, and the Eidim tell the fellow don't make. They plead with him, don't make a Shvuah because maybe you won't keep it. And that was at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's called Teichdei Dibur of the Aveira. It's Teichdei Dibur of the Shvuah. What's the Aveira of the Shvuah? Shteitim Rabbeinu Chananel, what's the Aveira of the Shvuah? The Aveira of the Shvuah is not the not eating at the end of the day of 6 o'clock. The Aveira is the doing away, the not keeping the commitment to one's word. A Shvuah is MS, and a person has to affirm the truth based on what he said. If he said he's going to eat, then there's a violation in not keeping that. The whole day of not affirming, not keeping his commitment is part of that very, like we said according to Rashi. And Rabbeinu Chananel says even more than that. Making a Shvuah, where you're going to be in violation of that Shvuah 9 hours later, the making of the Shvuah itself is that very. True, it's Asura Sofik, because he could be Mekayim 5 hours later. But if you make a Shvuah, if you under oath say something, and then you don't keep that 5 hours later, then the Shvuah itself is the Aveira, and then the whole day after is just to play itself out that the making of the Shvuah is the Aveira. That's why it's Teichdei Dibur. Okay, that's a Shvuah Dika Chiddush, it's really a Chiddush for the third Perek in Shvuah. What does that have to do with us? What this will do is it'll tell us that when a person is Zora Kika Layom, well, it's not just that he's throwing the kikah into the yam at 3 o'clock, and the aveira is at 6 o'clock. The whole day is in violation of his commitment to eat that kikah. If he was nishba, the whole day it's incumbent on him to eat. If he does a maisa in the middle of the day, then he, with a maisa, violated that shvuah. It's not just that he did a maisa and that's just will create a situation where he can't eat it 3 hours later. And he's being over the Shavuot 3 years later. No, the mice in the middle of the day is a mice right now violating the Shavuot that's incumbent on him. That's why it's a lav sheyesh by mice. What's the machloikis between the Tosfos and the Ramban? Why does Tosfos and Shavuot hold not that way? Because since there's another way to violate the Shavuot by just being in a passive state, then the Maisa of throwing the Kikah Layom is not the definitive Maisa of doing away with the Shavuot. So that's not called the Maisa Shavuot. We'll expand on this idea the definitive ma'isa of any avera, as opposed to just the circumstantial ma'isa, of in order to get to that avera in the next Shia Be'ez Hashem.
The Daf Yomi audio series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To reach the Center for Halacha Consultations, Service, Educational Seminars, or Media, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Chabad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you could email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.